You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Is AI going to take your job? Another way to put it is, where is everybody? Like, where did all the workers in restaurants go? Where did all the workers in the airplanes go? Like, I just was reading today, JetBlue has to cut down on flights because there aren't enough air traffic controllers. Where did everybody go? Well, I have on the man who has the answer, and it's Matt Barry from freelancer.com. Things have changed so much since the last time he came on. He came on in 2017. And the world has gone from 3% of people doing freelancing work to upwards of 40% of people doing freelancing work. And now AI, is that going to just change everything for the better or for worse? We talk about all these things, talk about the economy, worst case scenarios, best case scenarios. But most of all, it's just fascinating. Is AI going to take your job or anybody else you know? Here's Matt and I talking about it.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
Matt, we last spoke 6 years ago, and I feel like the freelancing world has 1,000,000,000% changed.
What an incredible time to be alive. I mean, and be a freelancer or be an entrepreneur. It's incredible now.
I mean, in 2020, I was reading that only 3% of the workforce were freelancers, and now it's up to 40% of the workforce does some sort of freelancing work. What are they all doing? What's happened to the world? I mean, other than the pandemic.
Well, I mean, every job in the world now can be done with a computer pretty much from anywhere in the world. Software has, you know, eaten everything. It's all moved into the cloud, and human-computer interaction has got so good that people on the other side of the world can work in a team on pretty much any profession and, you know, in real time. At the same time, you've got whole huge numbers of people that have gone online around the world in emerging markets as the internet's kind of grown everywhere and getting skilled up, getting trained up. And now with artificial intelligence, everyone in the world can now perform at the elite level in a whole variety of skills. You can now illustrate at the level of an elite illustrator, even though you might not have any design skills whatsoever. You can write copy. You can program using ChatGPT. It's an incredible time, and the whole space is moving so quickly with all the tooling that's now available for freelancers that is all powered by AI.
Yeah, and like a lot of people go back and forth on the AI component of this, and I'm still interested in like in the economics of like why people are leaving the kind of regular workforce for freelancing. But a lot of people are worried, will AI take their jobs? So let's say I was going to hire someone to make a logo. Well, now I could just go to Midjourney or DALL-E or any of these AI graphic tools and say, get me a logo. Give me 5,000 logos I'm going to pick from, and this is what I want. And do it in the style of Salvador DALL-E, and boom, it does it. Like, is there going to be a human need for many of the typical freelancing jobs?
Oh, absolutely, because you still need someone to drive all the tools. My mother would be completely unable to go to Midjourney and figure out how to use it. And also, people are very time poor, so you always need to get people to do things for you. Even if you know how to do the particular work, you've got to get people to assist you with that. You know, these tools basically are super skill everyone. It lifts the ability of everyone around the world in a variety of different categories, and that's going to increase. And the world is desperately short in skilled labor. All around the world, you know, every female on the planet needs to have 2.1 children to maintain the population. And across the Western world, the birth rate is way below the replacement rate. Even in Bangladesh today, the birth rate is well below the replacement rate. So we're critically short, you know, engineers, critically short computer scientists and programmers. You know, in some countries like Japan, it's so pronounced that in 2011, Unicharm, which is the largest manufacturer of diapers in Japan, says we now produce more adult diapers than baby diapers. Right. So there's a huge
unbelievable. That's the statistic of the day.
So there's a huge need for skilled talent. And, you know, like all technologies in the past, technology can be disruptive temporarily, but it does create more jobs in the end than it takes. Although, you know, I will say the advances that are happening in AI, you know, 1 week in AI seems to be 1 year in any other field of research. We'll kind of see where it ends up. But, you know, what we're seeing right now is that that basically it's giving superpowers to people around the world. No matter what your skill set is, you can now, you know, work in all these different areas at the elite level. It's incredible.
It reminds me of like in the 90s where people would spend a lot of money hiring others like freelancers to make their websites. But then making websites became ridiculously cheap, at least at the basic level, because you could just use WordPress or something like that. But still, probably now more people than ever are hired to build websites because you still need, no matter what, a human component to really manage the process. Like there's always, it seems like, a human component no matter what the technology is.
And that's right. And people are very time poor. There's so many things you can do in the world now that you're hyper-connected, right? And there's so many distractions, whether it's work or whether it's Instagram or whether it's, you know, communicating with people or whatever it is. You know, the time is increasingly precious. And so you do need people to help you no matter what it is. And if you look at some of these professions and what's happened over the last decade or two with the internet and with software and so forth, you know, look at a graphic designer. You know, 20 years ago, graphic designers, their bread and butter, at least, you know, amongst the people I knew that were doing graphic design, was I'll design for you a logo and, you know, I'll do that for a few $1,000s. And then afterwards, what I'll do is I'll do a stationery set for you with business cards. And that'll be like a little bit more. And, you know, it was all kind of that level of sort of work. You know, over the last decade, graphic designers don't really, in the West, don't really do that anymore. They're up the stack now. They're designing apps. They're designing websites. They're designing businesses, right? They can now hire freelancers who can program to help them kind of turn their dreams into reality. And with AI, it's going to be another leap again where, you know, the AI will probably design the app and the website for you, and you'll be more of a conductor or the editor or the producer or the cinematographer saying, I want it to be a little bit different, maybe a bit more color there, add a feature so we can, you know, do the following. And you know, the nature of work is going to be more and more higher level and more at the, you know, the production level and the directing level than maybe on the tools pushing pixels around the screen.
And, you know, let me ask this. I wonder if this is true for Australia, like, and around the world, because, again, freelancer.com is a global site. There's about 60 million users. So it's around the world. I wonder if you're seeing the same thing we're seeing very particularly here in the U.S., which is after the pandemic, it seemed like nobody went back to work. Like, every restaurant was complaining to me, oh, we don't have anybody. None of our old employees came back. Where did everybody go? Did they all go to freelancer.com?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them did, actually, yes. So there's been three major points in the world in the last decade where you've had this discontinuity of disruption that's occurred in the marketplace for work. We saw it originally in the global financial crisis, where, you know, even though that was mainly in the US for the most part, you had three things happening. You had businesses going online looking to do things cheaper because, it obviously, you know, all the layoffs and everyone was trying to cut costs. You had a lot of people looking for work online. And then you had the third phenomenon, which was a lot of people were creating businesses because they're like, you know what, I lost my job at Lehman Brothers. Yeah, you know, I've got 6 months before I kind of will take it seriously and get back into the workforce. Why don't I kind of build that startup that I was always wanting to build, or go help my wife with her shop? She always wanted to get a website put together. I'll kind of help her with that. We saw that again in the pandemic. Three things were happening. You know, people were looking for work online, businesses looking to cut costs, but a lot of startup businesses were happening. And, you know, people were kind of, you know, let's build a little drop shipping website where on Facebook I can sell a particular product that I found off Alibaba, or, you know, I can build a game. That was very popular. Lots of games were being developed and so forth. And we're seeing it again today with all the layoffs that's happening in tech, where, you know, I think last year there was like 170,000 layoffs in, you know, technology companies in the US. And, you know, people are doing the same thing. They're like, you know what, I'm not going to go back working at a big tech company or have you. I'm going to do my own startup. Here's a chance for me to kind of go out there and do it myself. And, you know, we're seeing a big boom in you know, software development apps. We're seeing a big boom in games and so on.
Like, what kind of games? Like, when I think of a game, I think of these really high-tech 3D,
yep,
you know, super games that take 1,000 man years to build. Like, can someone just go on freelancer.com and say, oh, I could build a game? Like, how do you build a game?
Absolutely. You come in and you just kind of write out a brief and you say, this is kind of how I want it to work. And there's all sorts of freelancers, all the way from individuals right up to professional agencies that will do it for you for any budget, really. I mean, there's one that happened as we speak. They're building a game around war and strategy. There's missions, special events, and an entire campaign storyline. They're implementing a player-to-player feature and a player versus machine model, et cetera. And you can do this stuff very, very, very inexpensively, about one-tenth of what you expect to cost if you went to local agencies. And, the talent is incredible today. You know, any skill set you can possibly imagine, you can hire at kind of the snap of your fingers by just posting a project and it's there.
Basically, the global economy benefits. So you have people in third world countries who are doing this labor cheaply, and you have people like who are laid off from Amazon last week. They have maybe a little extra cash to hire somebody from some other country through a site like freelancer.com or Upwork or whatever. They can lay out the cash to build a game, build a website, build a store, whatever.
That's right.
So will restaurants all go out of business because there's not going to be any waiters anymore?
Well, I mean, there is an issue with restaurants.
Why would someone be a waiter?
But yeah, I mean, it's a pretty amazing phenomenon because what's happening is, France is a pretty magical place because, the 66 million people are on the marketplace. They're creating the future and they're creating opportunity and it's really changing lives. So on one hand, you've got the guy who left Amazon in the US who's like, you know what, I'm going to start a game or I'm going to start a website or an app or what have you. And so they're kind of creating the future and innovating and doing, fun things. And on the other side, you've got people in emerging markets who are working in highly skilled areas and it's generating opportunity and income and tech jobs and skills are being generated and so forth. And so it's changing lives on the other side of the equation as well because, globally there's, a huge disparity in things like wages, right? And the average wage in the US last time I checked was about $123 a day and the average wage in India was something like $2.25 a day. So there's like a 50-to-1 disparity. And those ratios might have changed a little bit, but the point is you can deliver high-paying jobs on one side of the equation in areas that desperately need them and lift skills up and build independence because the freelancers, you can choose when you want to work, what field you want to work in, how much you want to be paid, and so forth. And at the same time, it's really, it's architecting the future of basically work. It's, create a job rather than take a job. And I think a lot of people, when they went off, the stimulus happened and there was a lot of, benefits and so forth. You correctly identified that a lot of people didn't go back to the traditional workforce. They're like, I can run my own business now. I can find ways to start things, side hustles even to supplement my income. And I get to kind of, be master of my own destiny rather than kind of, clock in, clock out 9 to 5.
And it seems like AI is this huge thing that's only just happened like yesterday that's going to completely change the nature of freelancing, even like as we were already discussing. Like, what skills are going to be the important skill sets to be a freelancer in the coming months, years, and so on now that AI has been introduced? It seems like you're going to have really good communication and project management skills. Like you said, people are going to have to be conductors of many different skill sets that AI is doing, as opposed to necessarily having the skill yourself.
That's right. I mean, the advances are, I mean, if you think about it, it's only since August of last year that Stable Diffusion came out, which kind of kicked off the whole arms race. And now you've got things like Midjourney, you've got obviously ChatGPT-4, which came out, which is game-changing. Any sort of white-collar job now, the AI will be able to figure out and probably do at the elite level. And so where the opportunity comes in is, A, now anyone's super skilled, anyone can use the tools, anyone can get in there and perform at the elite level across a range of different areas. And yes, the jobs will move up the stack just like they've moved it with every leap of technology. So you will be less sort of programming in Python and you'll be more saying, I would like to have an app that's like Uber for pets. Can you change the features here? Can you, more of a product manager, more of a director, more of a conductor. The styling, I don't really like the styling. Can you please make the styling a little bit more modern or a bit more sleek or a bit more like that website or generate a mood board for me based upon the following preferences and what have you. So it's going to be really lifting productivity levels, both of the freelancers that do the work and also the speed at which companies can commercialize products. Because you'll literally be able to say, okay, build me a company today and I want a website, I want an app, I want it to work like this, I want it to be in this sort of styling, and presto, it's there. Then you've got to have all the real challenges of, well, how do I sell it? How do I market it? And so forth.
What are you seeing the most in terms of like changes just in the past few months across the freelancer.com community?
Oh, definitely in design and copywriting. So, copywriters now are less writing the copy themselves and they're more being the editor. So ChatGPT, for example, can generate content in any field you want. But then you have to tell it, well, actually, do it again, but do it in a different style. Or I showed off an example. There's a friend of mine who runs Macro Voices, the podcast, Eric Townsend. I had lunch with him the other day, and he's like, oh, you know, could you get it to write an interview transcript with me with Sergey Glazyev? And it wrote the transcript as if the two of them were speaking. And he's like, oh, but it doesn't really understand that he might have a certain bias given his position in the Russian ministry. And so I said, ChatGPT, do it again, noting that he's in the Russian ministry and he might have a bit of bias. And I rewrote the whole transcript. And he's like, wow. Right. So you will play more of an editorial role, like a cinematographer or a director or a producer sort of role, where you'll look at it and go, okay, change that, change this, what have you. But the AI itself, in terms of what it can generate, would be incredible. I mean, like in a few weeks from now, you better say, make me the movie Top Gun 17 where Putin's fighting out with Tom Cruise, and you hit a button and bang, the movie will come out the other side. That's literally weeks away. So it's pretty exciting times, and the whole industry is going to change.
Yes, it's totally true. Airbnb has changed my life. If anything, they have made my life so much better. Like, I used to live in Airbnbs. I lived in over 100 or 200 different Airbnbs over a 3-year period, and I loved it. I became a really good guest of Airbnbs, and I got to know lots of hosts. So when I initially owned a house, the first thing I thought was, I'm going to turn my house into an Airbnb because I travel a lot. So why leave my house unused when I can make a side income by letting others Airbnb my house or come to stay in my house as guests? And having my own Airbnb or being a host for Airbnb has allowed me to do just that. And I've met other hosts. I've actually spoken at Airbnb's host conference. I think it was in 2017. I met so many just nice hosts. It's a great community. And I love, you know, turning my own home into an Airbnb. Like, I'm traveling to Austin next month. My home's going to be an Airbnb while I'm away, and I'll stay in an Airbnb. I'd rather stay in like a 3-story house Airbnb than in one tiny hotel room in the middle of Austin during South by Southwest. So listen, while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who are just letting their house sit empty, who've never thought about it or didn't realize their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle and is a great way to earn some extra money. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, then you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One in eight. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
One in eight, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Whenever someone says, well, ChatGPT can do this, but it'll never be able to do that, you know they're wrong. Like, it's whatever you say that's never going to be able to do, eventually it will do it. And so the question is, at what point, I mean, with every change in technology in history, as you said earlier, there's always been more jobs created than lost. Like, when horses were replaced by cars, more jobs were created than were lost in the horse industry. But will there come a tipping point where AI finally does the full human experience, the full human job, you know, in major industries?
Well, yeah, imagine. You've got to remember that most jobs actually are not online jobs. Most jobs are actually physical jobs where you kind of have to go somewhere and, you know, pick something up and put it down. And until they've plugged ChatGPT into Boston Dynamics Atlas, we've got a bit of time left before Terminator sort of takes over. But yeah, certainly I think it'd be interesting when the software starts writing itself, like, you know, ChatGPT gets given the source code to ChatGPT and said, you know, can you improve ChatGPT? It'd be pretty crazy. I think the other big crazy thing is going to happen is when they feed in every single academic paper, every thesis that's been written by a PhD student, every bit of research known to man, and they'll say, okay, based on all of that research, can you write a paper for a pill that will extend human life by 5 years or whatever it may be? I think you'll have a technological explosion that's going to come out the other side of that. And you know, that combined with, you know, the feedback loop of the software writing the software, if ChatGPT can kind of write itself, you might get a pretty crazy sort of times. I mean, they've talked about the singularity for years where, you know, at some point technology will outstrip the ability, you know, the pace at which technology improves will outpace the ability of the human mind to be able to comprehend it, and you'll end up like this Big Bang sort of phenomena where either man and machine will meld. And that's what Elon Musk is trying to do with Neuralink, where he's, you know, trying to say, well, maybe the future of humanity is being inside the machine. Or you might end up with a Terminator event where, you know, the ChatGPT ends up driving Boston Dynamics Atlas, and then, you know, the AI figures out that humans are a threat and they're a waste of resources, and you get in, you know, you're trying to call for John Connor at that point. Or it might be the Peter Diamandis model, who runs the XPRIZE Foundation, where he says it's the age of abundance and everything be plentiful and you'll be sitting back with your feet up and every whim you want will be provided for, and you might be in that sort of universal basic income sort of scenario where, you know, we've got that age of plenty, everything's provided for you, you don't have to do anything, and everyone kind of just sits around playing World of Warcraft 15 or something or other, which is generated on the fly. And, you know,
if you compare now to, like, let's say 50 years ago, think about it. Like, you can already order food delivered to you. You can have a famous chef cook your food, have it delivered to you, watch on your large screen TV a $100 million movie that was made by Steven Spielberg, and then sleep in your bed, which is monitoring all your vitals while you sleep. Like, we already live like unbelievable digital, like, gods. And what's going to happen next is unbelievable. I guess the main thing that so many people are uncertain about is what will this, could this have a negative effect on their lives? Like, well, for instance, if you're a journalist, there's no reason to hire journalists anymore. You could just say, hey, ChatGPT, there was this incident that happened today. Summarize it for me and run it in the paper. Like, unless you're an investigative journalist,
well,
you're gone.
I was about to say that, right? I actually think the quality of journalism's gone downhill a lot because the whole business model has been transformed by Google, in that it's just how many, you know, clicks and views of a page you've got and how many ad impressions you've got. And as a result of that, it's really about, you know, can you write a real clickbait headline that gets people to click on a link, right? And the actual journalism has been reduced to 500 words, and you probably know better than anyone, it's very hard to get more than one idea across in 500 words. And so what's actually been lost is the actual narrative of what actually is happening in the world. I'm on LinkedIn. I was maybe one of the 100 influencers at one point, and so I could post, you know, really long stuff that everyone would read. I wouldn't publish every week. I'd publish once a year something that would be like, you know, 85 pages long, and I'd try and actually string together the narrative of actually what's going on. And that actually had remarkable pickup. Like, you know, I had an article that was read by a million people in 2 days, went viral around the world. So I actually think that there is a lost part of journalism, which is more of the long story narrative, the investigative piece and so forth. I think the quality of journalism's dropped dramatically. So I think there's still a place for journalism that ChatGPT won't fill. But I think, you know, the run-of-the-mill sort of stuff, like, you know, the sports scores and comment on the baseball game, or, you know, a stock market going up or down, or world events or what have you, I think a lot of that can potentially, at a very basic level, be done by software, and probably already is in a fairly big way. But I think that there will be a place for higher level, more sophisticated work that the AI won't do.
Let's say you're 25 years old and you don't want a traditional job, you want to be a freelancer. What would you say are like the four or five professions where someone, even in the US, could make a living, could make a good living as a young person?
Well, the three big ones right now are actually user interface design, game development, and programming. They're the ones that are the top earners for freelancing. You know, I think product management is a huge industry that's taking off. With, I mean, 15 years ago, the title of the role wasn't even around, but now every tech company in the world is sucking in product managers, and product managers are basically a mini CEO of something. So it's a multifaceted jack of all trades sort of profession. And I think, you know, those sort of skills, I mean, the AI is going to take a bit of time, I think, to be able to reach human level of aesthetics and be able to decide how products should actually be built properly. I mean, it's very good at looking at all the world's, you know, content on the internet and then going, okay, based upon that, I can do something at the top level in any field. But I think, tastes change and human behavior changes. And I also think you're going to get a bit of a reflexive thing happening on the internet. The big thing I think is going to happen is this whole open world that's been created because of Google and search engine optimization, where, everyone produce great content, put it on the internet for free. Google will index it and then kind of monetize it by displaying ads when you search for stuff. I think that whole model is going to implode. I think all the data sets are going to go private. I think people are going to turn off their logged out web pages, because Google's going to, I think, in a very much an existential moment right now. There's a finite amount of search traffic in the world. So you and I, there's a finite number of things that we actually are interested in searching for every day, right? And a lot of that has now been deviated to ChatGPT or similar.
Right, or will be. Like, I think ChatGPT is, even though it's the fastest growing app ever, it's still, a lot of people don't use it every day, but they will.
Oh, the next 12 months will be bigger in terms of change than the launch of the commercial internet in 94, 95. I mean, 94 was the year the geeks had email addresses. 95 was the year your grandmother had an email address and everything changed forever. Everyone's selling online. Yeah. The next 12 months are going to be just even bigger than that. So I can guarantee you that Google's going to lose a lot of search volume, and the tolerance for people to see 53 ads when searching for something. I mean, you go to Google now, it's ridiculous. You say Flowers Sydney and bang, You've got 53 ads on this page, and you've got to keep scrolling down before you see any relevant content. And the content you do see is all being tweaked to kind of generate Google more money, because when Google launches their algorithm changes, and they did one just actually a few weeks ago, what they're doing is they're not cutting back on web spam. They're actually A-B testing revenue. So they're rerouting the internet just to make Google more money. So it's all, that's kind of what's happening there. But the point is that no one's going to tolerate that heavily ad-soaked model for search. It's, ChatGPT is very clean. There's no ads, right? And so I think what's going to happen is, anything you put publicly on the internet is going to be sucked down by the AI or multiple AIs. And so a lot of these companies that do produce, new data that is important and interesting, what have you, they're going to close that off. They're not going to show it to Google anymore. The traditional Google search engine is going to be less relevant. And Google's going to have a real existential crisis, because it won't be able to throw so many ads at people. So I think it's, because I mean, think about it, you give it 2, 3, 4 years from now, if I'm a scientific researcher and I publish a paper, the AI will suck that down in a nanosecond and then potentially commercialize it somehow, right? So people are going to be unwilling to share content online, and they're going to keep those data sets private and monetize them in other ways rather than, through
and, the SEO. And also the AI has learned from all the public data that's out there. So like, the AI presumably has read every Wikipedia post, has read every Reddit post, has read, most blogs. So, when you ask Google a question, one third of those questions, you probably end up on Wikipedia as the answer. So you divert, Google's like a way station to Wikipedia for about a third of the questions that are asked. So to some extent now, ChatGPT just skips that whole thing and just answers you directly.
Yeah, well, I mean, Google does that in a very cunning way. So what they do is, Wikipedia is shown there as a token bit of organic content to make it look like they're actually showing you relevant information rather than just ads. And because Wikipedia is not a commercial effort. So that's why it kind of ranks there all the time. But yeah, I certainly get your point. But I think all the data sets going to go private. I think the whole model is going to change. The Google model is going to change. Search is going to move to more of a chat interface and a voice-driven chat interface. The next version of Siri is going to be pretty crazy. And we'll see where it ends up.
How is freelancer.com going to change as a result of AI?
I think it's incredibly beneficial for us, because number one, the supply of skilled labor is desperately needed worldwide. That's the whole thesis behind freelancer. And now that supply of skilled labor is going up dramatically, people are increasingly time poor and need people to do things for them. So, I take the example of my mother. Like, she needs things done all the time, but she's not going to sit down and figure out Midjourney or what have you. Even if the interface gets really, really nice and easy, she's not going to figure out how to draw an illustration, resize it, put it up on her website, maintain it, whatever. It's not going to happen. So someone's going to have to do all that work. And the other thing is, the ability for us to personalize content for you to help you get things done is extreme, right? We've got a whole bunch of AI that's being deployed right across the website right now. So, for example, you type your project description, what you want done. Most people don't know what they want done. Most people come and they go, oh, I want to build a website, but they don't know the functionality that they want on that website. They don't know what platform to select. And building a website is, how long is a piece of string? It could be a $50 website. It could be a $500,000 website. It really depends how complex and so forth. But the ability for the AI to help you with that job spec and write the job spec out for you and iterate over that and show you a mood board, and do you like that, do you not like that, and then basically help you find the best freelancer that's specific for that, and then structure the product development plan, write the technical specification. All that stuff can be done automatically.
And so that's on the entrepreneur side. I would imagine also on the freelancer side, look, a lot of people are from countries where English might not be their native language. So even just structuring a proposal, it's going to help them.
It's funny you mentioned that. We've got a feature we're pushing actually next week where the chat interface will magically transcribe your voice and your typing to a different language. And so you can be, have very poor grasp of English and you can now speak fluently in English by voice, and it would just pop out the chat side and vice versa. So that's all going live in a week from now.
It's all moving so fast, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, all the changes that happen. And I'm still trying to decide whether, well, you know, I think if you have a brand like freelancer.com, AI is not going to suddenly make its own brand. Like people, it's not going to become freelancer.com. Freelancer, Upwork, a few of the winners in the freelancing space will continue to be that way. It's not going to recreate Uber. Uber will still be Uber. So in terms of like companies that have already made it through and have become big brands, they've kind of survived the AI apocalypse that might be coming for industries. But I wonder what industries will just basically shut down. You know, again, like you were mentioning, like basic graphic design, it's not shut down, but it's changed. You can't just like design stationary. You actually have to build the app and design the app now for people. And so industries are going to morph, and skill sets are going to change, but it's going to be interesting.
Well, I had a thought about that. I think the industries that have a creative element to it or a human connection to it or really higher level critical thinking to it, that everything will just go up the stack. There are some industries, though, where I think it's very much rule driven. For example, accounting. If you're an accountant, basically the government sets the rules and your job as an accountant is to basically not be creative, right? Is to follow the rules, right? And I think there's professions like that, which I think will just be done in a nanosecond through an app and in real time. And I think those jobs are going to change quite dramatically. I think a lot of legal work's going to change. Certainly at one end, you could be creative and argue in court and this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of legal work is drafting. And right now I can get ChatGPT-4 to draft me any document I want. It'll write me a patent. It will write me a non-disclosure agreement, write me a Series A stock subscription agreement, and it'll do a pretty good job. I actually sat down with a bunch of lawyers last week in Vancouver, and they said, oh, I bet it can't draft a escrow agreement for a share purchase in the province of British Columbia because there's a few little tips and tricks that you got to follow, right? And I hit the button. And
challenge accepted.
The guy's face just went, he looked at his partner and he said, just as well, I'm retiring next year. It's your problem now.
No, it's true. There's already a company set up that will, AI does all the back and forth. If you get like a parking ticket or, you know, a driving ticket, they will handle all the legal work for you just using AI.
Yeah. I think there'll be an explosion of lawsuits because it's so simple now to for the AI to create a suit and file it. And I think there'll be an explosion of defense, you know, apps to defend against these lawsuits. So I think the legal system will be busy, very, very busy, because the cost to enter a suit is usually quite expensive. And now that barrier's dropped because the AI will do the drafting for you.
I remember last year I was asked to go speak at the Norway Business Summit, and I was so excited because side by side with the Business Summit was the Norway Chess Summit, where I would get to see in person Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player ever, playing chess. But it was 4 plane rides, like to get to the city that ultimately I would go to. So I really did not want to fly for 14 hours, and they were willing to pay for everything for me. So I at first class. So I didn't want to fly for 14 hours and not be first class. So I had to hurry up and get on the phone immediately to get those first class tickets to a chess tournament in Norway. And listen, this is just like when, you know, you have to know when you want the best of anything, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. And I did not want those seats to fill up. So it's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. I just was talking to a friend this morning where he was trying to decide between some programmers and he waited a little too long And both the programmers he was interviewing took other jobs, like great jobs. So, you know, what's the best way then to hire the best as quickly as possible? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Just try it and see. You'll find out. So ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify the top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I know this because one time I signed up as an employee, potential employee on ZipRecruiter, and I got nonstop. Really, I was, even though obviously I wasn't looking for a job, I love what I do, but I just wanted to see what would happen because they were a sponsor of my podcast. And the most interesting jobs would pop up in my emails like, hey, you're qualified for this or that. And so it's interesting to see. So just go there and try it. Try ZipRecruiter.com/James. Amp up your hiring performance. Now, this is more for if you're hiring, but amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/James. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Now, do you think with all this innovation happening and, you know, you take AI and then you take innovations that have already been occurring on in other industries like biotech and so on, and robotics and every industry, do you think that innovation will be enough to perhaps slow down what's happening? Because, you know, my opinion is it was a shame the global economy shut down for almost 2 whole years. And we still don't know the full ramifications of that. Part of the ramifications is that we went from 3% freelancers to 40% freelancers. Other ramifications, we just don't know, like the effect on currencies and so on. So do you think, though, the pace of innovation will be fast enough to kind of reverse whatever negative effect we have from shutting down the economy for a couple of years?
Well, I think freelancing is incredibly deflationary. And I think the advances in AI are probably one of the most deflationary things we've seen in human history. So I think I think they will certainly have an effect to try and slow some of the inflationary pressures. But I think the Fed is kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't, right? I mean, typically you have to raise the policy rate, I think about 4 or 5% above the real inflation rate in order to kind of, you know, stem inflation, you know, in a traditional sort of textbook sense. I think the numbers are about 6 or 7% roughly in terms of inflation is being reported. The real number is probably close to 15%. You know, they raised rates to 4.75 in the fastest hike, I think, in history, and Silicon Valley Bank blew up, right? And Silicon Valley Bank was doing phenomenally well because it banks all the tech companies, right? It went from $60 billion in deposits to $190 billion in deposits in 2 years, so it was flush with cash. It just had nothing to lend to because those deposits are liabilities on the bank's balance sheet, and so they've got to have assets. They've got to loan it out, and they couldn't figure out what to do with it, so they stuck $82 billion into mortgage-backed securities, an average yield of 1.56% over 10 years. Which meant you got your money back in 10 years, no problem, but startups burn cash all the time and went quarter by quarter and the startups kept on burning. And then they kind of had a bit of a liquidity crisis when the VCs broke ranks and said, pull your money out. So I think all the banks around the US are going to have that problem. So if the Fed keeps raising rates, you're going to blow up a bunch more banks. If you lower rates, inflation's going to be out of control and the US debt is mathematically unpayable at the current level. So, you know, and in some way, I think the US government wants a lot of inflation to continue so that the debt problem becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and that's why they want to have a policy rate of 2% usually, because after 30 years, the debt problem is half as big because you've inflated it away. So I think they kind of want to run inflation hot for a few more years. And then, and that's why you've got these policies like, you know, Green New Deal and, you know, reparations for everyone and, you know, education, you know, waiver, student debt and so forth, because I think they want to run inflation hot to make the US debt problem go away, and then they'll do some sort of a reset with a central bank digital currency, maybe with some loose backing by gold or whatever, what have you. But certainly a pretty dynamic space right now. But yeah, I mean, these are very, you know, freelancing online and the AI and software and so forth, very deflationary forces. So we'll see where it ends up.
Well, you know, it's interesting because before they dropped all this money on the economy during the pandemic, they were fighting deflation. Like, that was what was keeping the Federal Reserve governors up at night, was worries about deflation because of technology changes or because of freelancing around the world and so on. And they kind of got their wish of inflation, but maybe too much. And hopefully some of it is transitory because supply lines were all shut down. But, you know, we're going to see. It's definitely going to be an interesting time.
I mean, the problem is printing money won't dig any more copper out of the ground any faster, really.
Yeah.
These things take time.
But that's why we got off all the gold standards, because we didn't have enough gold to pay our debts.
Well, I mean, getting off the gold standard was phenomenal for the US in terms of driving economic growth, right? It basically meant you could just print money and, you know, you're playing Monopoly and you're the banker and you can print your own money. You can buy everything on the board. It was phenomenal for the US, but now we've got, you know, obviously a few things got depegged, such as, you know, wages, and now we're getting the ramifications of that because it's gone on for so long. So I think there's going to have to be some sort of reset in the next, you know, 5 years or so.
Do you think oil will get depegged? Do you think, like, you know, with China kind of brokering relationships with Saudi Arabia and Iran and Russia and so on, do you think at some point the petrodollar won't exist?
Well, that's the talk of the week, right? Because I think the first transaction just went through in renminbi last night, and Saudi is now shifting
focus. Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was on Twitter I saw. And they're now shifting their focus in terms of security alliance to China, along with many other countries in the world. I think one of the mistakes the US did was the sanctions program against Russia, because, you know, confiscating, you know, oligarchs' boats around the world, I think it freaked out a lot of countries where you've got, you know, a lot of people in power have got a lot of toys around the world parked in the Mediterranean, what have you. And I think that got people greatly concerned. So I think we'll see where it ends up. But I think we're obviously heading to a very confrontational point in human history. I mean, we've had one of the greatest peacetime periods in modern times, you know, since World War II, really. There's been a few kind of, you know, minor wars around the world, but I think we're heading to a confrontation. I think they call it a Thucydides trap, where you've got a monopolar world, and then suddenly there's a great threat from a usurper, and that was China. And I think Trump kind of looked at that and said, okay, well, his advisors told him that I think about 13 critical technologies that the US has that China doesn't have. You know, they can punch out, you know, electronics and make chips and so forth, but they can't make the machines that make the chips. You know, and you know, certain types of, you know, superconductors and AI and this, that, the other. And so he was like, okay, well, let's try and start a bit of a trade war here to try and temper the usurper. But I think now it's kind of been a bit mismanaged, and I think there's too many people turning against the US. So it's a pretty scary time.
So what do you worry about in terms of, like, the next 5 years? You know, as you have your pulse on the global economy because you see so much of what's going on in the freelancing world. What worries you over the next 5 years, like you personally?
Well, it's, are we going to go to war first, or will the robots figure out we're a waste of space first? are we going to go to a Skynet situation first, or are we going to go to, you know, a hot war, basically? I think they're two big risks right now.
Yeah. And economically, what are you worried about?
Well, I mean, inflation will cause a lot of social unrest. I mean, the thing is, you know, back in the global financial crisis, when they printed money in a way, you know, through quantitative easing and so forth, where it kind of flowed into sort of hedge funds and so forth, right? And so the asset prices got inflated. So, you know, the stocks went up, and you know, everything from, you know, fine art to classic cars and watches, all that sort of stuff inflated, right? This time around, when they did the stimulus for COVID, they did it in a way where food prices inflated, because they're just, you know, broad-based sort of stimulus. So I think the issue now is that, you know, when food goes up too much, people don't eat. And I think someone said that we're only so many hot meals away from revolution. I think you're starting to see in countries like Sri Lanka, where the effects of inflation are, you know, it just, the country can't take it anymore. And suddenly the president's palace, everyone, you know, goes in there and starts going crazy and ripping it down because people can't eat. And I think that is going to become a broader problem around the world where you have a lot of social unrest if the price of food keeps going up. And, you know, the price of food is linked to the price of oil. It's come down a bit, but that could spike in a variety of different scenarios, particularly with the Saudis kind of pivoting. If there's a revolution in Saudi Arabia in the next couple of months, it could be catastrophic for the world in terms of the ability to feed each other and power things. So
now steel man that, like, take the opposite side. What encourages you to not just lie in bed crying every day, and what gets you to work?
Oh, it's amazing the things you can create now and how easy it is to create it. You know, to turn your dream into reality now, it's just so simple, right? You come up with a concept, you've got freelancers to help you, you've got AI to help you, it's so cheap. I mean, it used to be, when I started my career in tech, you know, you had to go out and raise a Series A venture round of $5 million and, you know, it took 18 months if you're lucky at all to get any money together and it was just so hard and so slow to sell anything. Now the world is hyper-connected. You've got a great product or service. You know, things can just take off overnight. Right? Look at ChatGPT, right? I mean, that is a product. It's the fastest growth of any product in history, right? I mean, there's companies around the world, you know, that make $1 billion of revenue in their first year.
What's a company you've seen literally created on freelancer.com that has gone to, like, amazing heights that you wouldn't expect?
There's one that one of my co-pilots told me last week. There's a lady in Estonia, and she's come up with it. She's got a great product of bitters, like a range of aromatic drinks. And she came on just to get a logo done, and next minute she's got a website built, whatever. And we've got a project management service that will just do everything for you. You just pay by the hour, $35. And they're running her entire business now. It's doing sales, doing marketing, doing whatever. And she just came in to get a logo done, and she's like, oh, wow, the whole thing's just running itself now, right? So it's just – that's what's amazing is if you've – 60% of people last time I saw a survey said they want to be an entrepreneur. 6% of people actually do it. But your ability and ease of doing it now is just so easy. It's incredible. And that's what's exciting. The ability to create, you know, products and services of the future and see all the crazy things people are doing and things you'd never think of. And I think that's super exciting.
Well, they always say that between two countries, you either exchange bullets or money. And so hopefully the money will beat out the bullets with entrepreneurship and sites like your site, freelancer.com, which puts all these things together. And hopefully that's the direction things go in, as opposed to a more confrontational one. You know, look, Matt, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really wanted your perspective on the economy, on freelancing, on, you know, what's going on with AI and the relationship to everything you're doing. And freelancer.com is a great site. I used it to build a business. I used one of the companies you bought early on. I think it was Scriptlance back in 2007. I used it to build a business that did very well. So I always appreciate what you guys do and the site, and I highly recommend people use it and check it out. And thanks once again.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to it. Yeah, coming in again sometime in the next few years, and we're talking about all the new things that people are doing on the site and what the freelancers are doing. So,
or maybe our AI avatars will come on. It's like my avatar will schedule with your avatar, and they'll just talk. Like, they listen to us all day long, so they train on our words, so they'll just know how to be like AI James and AI Matt, and they'll go on a podcast.
Let's do that. That'd be interesting.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.